on.
Yeah.
We're a regular meeting, North Bend Planning Commission, Thursday, October 23rd, 2014, at City Hall. First item on the agenda, approval of the minutes from September 25th. Have a motion.
Chair, I so move.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion, corrections? All in favor?
Aye.
Carries. Second item on the agenda, public comment on non-agenda items.
Hi, welcome. Travis Bridgman, 713 Oak Avenue, Northeast, North Bend. And I'm just here tonight to be supportive, share some snacks, be like a silent, learn how to be a silent mediator, art, and just to give you guys a good blessing to continue on with your fine work.
Thank you, Travis.
Thanks, Travis.
Before we move to the next item on the agenda, which is a comp plan, Jen, want to introduce?
Yes, we do. So we do have a new planner, a new associate planner. This is Megan's replacement.
Megan the second.
Right. So Lynn, I'm going to let you do your, just maybe tell them a little bit about you, your history, your education background, and then maybe we'll go around the table.
What's your last name?
Fredenberg. F-R-E-D-E-N-B-U-R-G.
Yeah, we're definitely lucky to get Lynn, so we're happy.
I was going to say, what were you thinking?
Notice they didn't have her come here previously.
Mr. Is this your, what, fourth day?
Yes.
Yeah.
Got it all worked out then.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I am coming most recently from the county. I was working in parks for King County, but I just went through the Urban Design and Planning Program at the University of Washington. And before that, I had worked for the Forest Service for a number of years after graduating from my, I'd worked there for 5 years after graduating from Alaska with my undergrad, Idaho and Alaska jointly. I did my undergrad, but originally from Idaho, and I've been living in North Bend now for 4 years. So I lived here off and on while I did my master's, and so tried to stay out here most of the time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, welcome.
But I'm really excited to be here. Yeah, it's been great. A very good first week welcoming, so thank you for that.
What was your first experience with the Forest Service?
My first experience, like my first
job,
I was a firefighter for the whole time. And I did 3 years on an IA crew, if you're familiar with the crews, and then 2 years on the hotshot crew in Arizona. So.
And then from there you went up to where?
From there I went back to school. I don't know about like where this is going for a career.
Yeah.
So.
And you said, and you're newly minted out of the
I graduated this spring, and then I was an intern at the county for half of my time, so a year there, and then worked through the summer there. So, yeah. I think that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's a good fit where you've got experience in the timber side of the world and also the county side of the world. Being this,
Dick,
in this
you've community. Got a prejudice. let's go around.
Let's be a warehouser for us.
Let's do a quick around the table and give her just an idea of who we are.
Elizabeth Gildersleeve. Family's been in North Benton since the 40s, though I have only been here for about 25 years now. I work in insurance, but have a specialty in flood insurance, and I kind of got my interest here, and then I realized it was time for me to step up if I wanted to have any say in what was going on for the city. You can't complain if you don't make an effort.
And we're very happy you did. I'm Rob McFarland. I'm currently chair. I've been in this spot for a while, a couple of terms, and North Bend resident for about 18 years now, so not a native. Getting closer, but not quite close.
I'm Gary Fancher. I'm the vice chair, newly. I've been in North Bend since 2003, so 11 years. Married, have 2 kids, 2 and 4. Just enjoy volunteering in the community, so pass along.
Yep. Sorry for the hazing. You seem to be okay with it. Jim Lucky, been here since the early 90s, and I'm a real estate brokerage, and care about this little town. Welcome.
Thanks.
Yes, worked here since 84. In the Woods Warehouse. Lived here for 5 years. Member of the King County Rural Forest Commission. Supervisor on the King County Conservation District. Watery guy. Now the Planning Commission. Okay. I love this town.
Yeah.
And it's only a rumor that he came out here with Frederick Weyerhaeuser.
No, just a rumor.
But I didn't catch your name, sorry.
Dick Ryan.
Kurt Swift, with new planner, get you introduced to her in a second, so we're just letting her know who we are.
Sure. I'm Kurt Von Trapp. I've lived in North Bend for 12 years. Just joined the commission about 2 months ago. I'm counselor at Echo Glen Children's Center on Snoqualmie Ridge. And that, you know, made a home here, and this was an opportunity to start giving back. So took the opportunity.
What makes an enemy of one commissioner not with this time?
Can we make up stuff about them?
We definitely should make up stuff. Okay. Anything else before we go into the open the agenda in? Okay, item 4 on the agenda, comprehensive land use element, residential land use and zoning amendments exercise. So, continuation from the prior meeting. Goal tonight, now the agenda. So the goal tonight is to make decisions. And what I would like to both propose, and I'm going to try to honor and push for myself, is that the staff has put all of the topics categorized that we've all brought forward over the last multiple meetings. They put them up on the board here for a little bit of pro-con work, a little bit of talk through, and then I'm not going to necessarily go for the consensus notion that we have to get to consensus, but a general plan forward, or you truly are just saying, tonight, do you want to vote, or do you go on the items, or are you saying, are we good? Let's go forward with that.
However you want to do it, whether it be consensus or a vote, we want to be able to move forward at least on the residential portion of it so that we can have our GIS guy begin to do the analysis necessary to get our comp.
And I should say that, and all these topics tonight are just around, you know, predominantly around the residential. What I'd suggest then is that as we go topic by topic, if there seems to be disagreement that's relatively split, then I'll call for a vote so we can actually take a formal vote. But if we're generally in consensus, we'll just say go. Let's go. Does that work for you guys?
Yep, I'm ready. Two-headed coin here, ready.
All right. Since we've done, you know, as I said, we've been at this now for several meetings. My assumption is we're not looking at new items. We kind of know the pros and cons. It's to get them out there fairly efficiently, quick. We've got about almost 10 topics. I'd like to see us spend no more than about 10 minutes per topic. And wrap it up. Okay, let's go work. Okay. Who's
right.
Leading this pack?
Well, I think the two of us are going to kind of team it. So we're going to go ahead and just start, basically give you a brief description of what it was. We've kind of come up through your comments, come up with what we think might be some starting point solutions. We'll share those with you. Then we'll list the pros and cons and hopefully have some consensus. So, Mike, do you want to go ahead with the first one, or
sure.
I can, however you'd like?
This stems both from Planning Commission discussion, and there was also a docket earlier on, I think it was actually back in like 2012, by Peter Neeson, who wanted to rezone all the properties on the south side of 140th to residential. So we looked at what are the existing land uses out there, what are the zoning districts, and what would make sense. So looking at an aerial photo, back here. A real hodgepodge of things. And a lot of it is truly industrial on the south side of 140th, but there are some clusters of residential. And what we tried to do is look at least within this clustered area that's kind of in the corresponds with the neighborhood business zone.
Could you orient the map?
This is kind of the theory's topic was basically what do we do with the zoning along this corridor?
Mm-hmm. And so what we did from that comment, which is a fantastic comment, is we went out there and spent a lot of time really trying to dial in on where there's existing true neighborhoods versus just one-off homes. And so that's kind of what Mike's starting to orient you to, is where we think it's not just a cluster of homes, it's actually a neighborhood within that area on the south side.
So yeah, we're right here in this blue area, the neighborhood business zone. And what you see in the red outline is just kind of a analysis of where are the existing homes that are not likely to convert because there's, again, their neighbors are residential. These are generally newer homes that a higher level of cost.
One of those is multifamily, I believe. Is that correct? Somewhere around there. I don't know if it's there are apartments or something.
I'm not familiar with any multifamily.
Check.
No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I think that it's kind of like an apartment house.
Yes.
There's some apartments over here.
That's what,
yeah.
Yeah. So, also looking at, go ahead.
No, I was thinking it was the opposite way.
Okay.
And this is North Fenway.
I'm good now.
So given that all of this right now is within the neighborhood business zone, we didn't feel that it made sense to convert everything to residential because there's also commercial on North Bend Way, and that probably will always walk. Just did an outline of that, and a recommendation then would be to convert this area to low-density residential. The remainder would stay in neighborhood business. We also looked over in this area, but it's a lot more hodgepodgey again, kind of individual homes. There is the cluster right here of single-family homes, so that one we were a little more torn on, but with the buffering, 30-foot buffer between single-family residences and uses within the EP2 zone, we didn't feel that that was as important there because you got
actually requires a larger buffer than typical.
Right.
And what is typical? So, again, Mike, the zoning change proposal that you've got on the paper is all within existing neighborhood business.
Yes. It's all within neighborhood business. This one right here, I'm going to clarify because this is an additional edit. This is currently in neighborhood business, but it doesn't really make sense that we'd have this long lobe of neighborhood business sticking up. So what we would propose is that these properties actually convert to EP2.
Is there a particular drawing?
Yeah, those are parcel. Okay.
So that's why the odd shape.
Yeah. Again, neighborhood business being more services and retail type of uses, which generally aren't tucked in behind other things.
Okay. Would this be an opportunity to have affordable housing location?
Low-density residential would generally not be.
Long way from services.
You could do it in here. You could do it here. But if it goes to LDR, that would be more in line with what's actually constructed. Basically, everything in the building is almost
principally built out
low-density residential.
Or being, right, because mm-hmm. yeah, I think right. there's these are all right. slated for build-out right
those
now.
Have to be. Mm-hmm.
So what I'd like to do, this is a great example of it, so once we've had enough explanation that make sure everybody's comfortable, we know what we're talking about, then let's jump. Let's get to the pros and cons. Where do you see this, Gary? You were the lead on suggesting it, but it's staff's proposal.
I think what they've done is actually just clarified my request and made it a lot more thoughtful and focused on where it should be low density and keeps intact some of the existing business uses that I think should have been kept.
Okay. Any downsides you see?
I'm still, your question about whether or not this should remain as business, I understand not tucked away. Is this currently, this is all EP over here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And an existing business. Yeah. There, right?
Yeah.
But then over here, this NB is neighborhood business zoning, so you could have services on that side. So, no, I think it's in line with... current low density across the street. I think the overlay with the buffers gives the rest of the residential some. The only question is, where does this come into play with the docket that was requested?
Yeah, so it doesn't address, well, the docket suggested everything on the south side of 140th. So, and I think given that it was submitted by a property owner that lives here, his interest probably be to have him increase his lot and maybe his neighbor's lot that way.
Which we need to address as a separate item from what you've got proposed here.
That'd be considered a spot zone. That'd be considered a spot zone.
It definitely would be a spot zone if we did that, right, as a one-off.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, Gary.
Jim?
Yeah, just curious, Gary, looking at the way this has become a visual here, what if there were no lot lines? Let's say that this had never been subdivided. It was a chunk of land. Would you think differently about low density versus the neighborhood business?
I think of Southeast 140th as a road that should have a bike lane along it. I think it's very family-friendly. The walkability of it exists with the new developments that are there and the existing developments. I see North Bend Way as something of a different animal with 50-mile-an-hour speed limit, heavy-use traffic, business traffic. So I think it makes sense the way it's drawn and separated in that sense. You know, I would think these little clefts or whatever are based on lot lines. So other than that, it's pretty much in the middle.
So what I'm hearing you say is, yeah, maybe not perfect, but a good recognition of existing. Jim, did you have it? So
and that's the piece. I'm trying to go back to the thought of if there was not the existing feature.
Well, I understand.
What
would
we think?
I'd like to drive to is so you see it as a con, or so do you? And you would propose a different drawing of the lines to be truer, or you're just pondering?
No, I'm thinking through what I would suggest if I were looking at this before Gary spent more time with it. My question would be, shouldn't everything be LDR or everything be neighborhood business? The reason it's been thoughtfully and I think smartly cut up the way it is because you've got existing arrangements. So you can't just deny them and start over.
That's actually a good comment. I actually think if there were no lines, existing property lines, I think you would want to do something like this. And the reason is North Bend Way is a busy road,
yep. And
naturally going to want to support higher commercial activity than a home, for example. Mm-hmm. I even think that area is still visible to the freeway, which even kind of promotes it more.
Yep.
So this kind of is a nice compromise where residential fronts the residential road and commercial, and then our landscape code buffers them nicely between the two.
So is it true to say that the LDR is really only coming into play because that's existing?
That's what's driving the question.
So from a pro standpoint, I'm going to take it into the pro.
Sorry, I'm not following the pro.
Yeah, I'm not. So on the one hand, my notion would have been to just leave it
right.
Business, existing uses are, existing zoning is fine, but not addressing actually, trying to draw around the existing use, just the notion of trying to balance where there's because of what's already there. And because there is that nice desire to be able to balance both sides of the road, that's why I would support and say, I think that works. I don't like the squiggly lines between, but
that's just a recognition of property.
It's a recognition of property lines. I think it's a reasonable choice.
I think on the pro side, adding the smart commercial buffer, but also overall decision about going to a 4 LDR. Firm 4DL, that we're going to look for a space for additional lots that we're going to probably lose because of the wider lot line. So areas like this are going to pick up some of that potential lot loss. We might be looking for other areas around town where we could also pick up some potential for gaining some LDR space. I like the idea about the buffer. It's not a true buffer. I can hear the freeway anytime at night around this area, but it does create a visual buffer. For homes.
And when we're talking buffer, what I think Stas talking about is more between uses and not freeway. is between a business use and a residential.
And I think it dresses up the town of Woods. It's a good street to drive onto from there when you're facing your neighbors.
Right. Curtis?
These are all being built.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have any concerns.
I'm disagreeing. It looks like a good compromise, and keeping from having all traffic business uses, particularly across from town, with that kind of tight residential area, that makes sense.
So I'm not hearing any objection or wanting to change. Is that a fair statement?
I'm thinking only because, and I always come back to this. I always come back to imagine myself as the landowner that this affects. Part of me wants to ask this guy, who we're just protecting supposedly because of what he's already doing with his land.
Well, actually, in this process, he will.
So, I'm setting the stage to make sure that whatever we put out there, that's in our language to invite that, not just pay attention to your mailbox kind of thing.
Well, I guess maybe that's an appropriate time for you to comment, but make sure everybody here is on the page of what happens now. Once we make these decisions, once we say yes is what we want.
So the next step is the public hearing, to which we will notice all these people that are being affected.
See, every single landowner with a change has to get a notice. So.
And we'll definitely
hear from them.
Yeah, the nice thing about what you're doing tonight is if we get consensus that this is a direction you guys want to take, we can actually send this out and says, Planning Commission is considering a zoning change here, and this is what it would be, so come and get involved.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, with that, are we good then?
All right.
That one's approved.
So the next one on the list then is what kind of a staff take off of Elizabeth's comment, which is that you wanted to see lower density down towards the freeway, preserving some of that open view.
And I have even more reason for that now after attending the Key County Flood Control District meeting.
Okay, so orient us on where we're talking.
So on the map, we're talking about this area as I-90 comes down, and we're also within the floodplain right here.
So right.
You guys have been busy with the onion skin.
Yeah. So here,
so just to kind of follow up what Mike. So here's where we're at.
We're talking floodway.
Yeah, Safeway is right.
It's not a floodway.
Yeah, floodplains and floodplain. So Safeway's right here. So everything basically through here is what we're talking about.
And that was underwater last,
2009?
06, 09.
Yeah.
I've waded through. So
you can see right here, this is the area we were talking about. Okay, so again, Safeway. This whole area from... remind me the name of it.
Shamrock. Gary States.
The blue is floodplain. The salmon is floodway. So we're looking at this corridor. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just on the south side.
We're actually looking south even
through there. And just to share this, because I think part of the reason this is important to know, there is a direct concern with potential overtopping of I-90 in that area.
Yeah,
there is a significant flooding issue in there. So it's not only...
Overtopping 90?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to be some mighty high water.
I have slides from 59.
Yeah.
So...
I've seen it close to the top of the levee.
Being broken apart into pieces.
Yeah, there's an effort. The county's looking at buying out some properties to address
it. And that may address a lot of this. But in my thought is reduce the amount of volume of people in that area. And the less construction that we have in that area, the less we affect the natural floodplain, which... reduces the stress further downstream. So there are positives for the entire city to do that.
So Mike, you want to show the kind of where we came based on the comments?
So to get there, it's never a clean boundary based on floodplain because the floodplain doesn't follow property lines. So we tried to align that as best as we could kind of together with what makes sense with neighborhoods and came up with this approach where it would take in this entire, I forgot the name of that one, but 1950s neighborhood here.
Brook, Is that Brookside?
Brookside, yeah. And then just straight down to 140th there. And then bringing it up to the base of Berry Estates. We left out Berry Estates, just kind of recognizing that this is directly adjacent to urban services and would therefore make possibly a good higher density residential subject to flood mitigation.
And that's mostly floodplain, this one last parcel that could be developed.
So in one sense, we're saying that the higher density, which has some favorables on an economic standpoint to be able to deal with the flooding area. On the other hand, we're saying in the residential area, you're going to lower the density. Seems like a, I'm not saying wrong choice, but it's just, you know, they're like two different counterbalancing thoughts, right? Increased density versus lower density.
Well, not necessarily increased density, but just at least maintaining it as the LDR zone.
The line would then, so the constrained residential would start here and go that way.
Help me.
I thought your motion was that you maybe want to change it to HDR. No? Okay.
Leave it LDR.
Okay.
So it would.
This is LDR and this is LDR?
These two neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Currently, yes.
So.
So what COR is just our abbreviation for constrained residential.
I saw LDR because I'm looking at it upside down.
And
all right.
Half acre is in Brookside is the majority of those are over half acre lots already, right? So this is probably not a balance in any way to any of the existing.
I can look real quick.
Yeah, those are pretty close to half acre.
Right? Most of them are over.
Okay.
But either way, I think that's a good point that it actually potentially fits right in line with where they're at. And so, most of the area, or all of the area we're talking about, is not in the city limits right now.
In our flood plan, when we did that, we talked about elevated residential structures. And so anything that would be built new, if it's not in the city, conforms to county standards. But if it's in the city, would conform to whatever we have in our flood plan. Mm-hmm. So the statements necessarily making a HDR more fit for this area doesn't necessarily apply, but it's going to make residential construction a little bit costlier, possibly.
Costlier than the county?
No, costlier than a regular single family.
The north-south line is Maloney, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
This one?
Right here, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's
so, Elizabeth, you got yours out. Who's next? Gary, you got your thoughts out? Pro cons? You're good?
I'm weighing in my head, yeah.
Okay. Jim?
What's the, to the future insurance commissioner question? Floodway, can you get insurance for anything?
Mm-hmm. But floodway, they can't build in anyway.
And well, that's
part
where I'm
of the
going.
Reason for this. So, if it's floodway, construction of residential properties is already constrained. It's the areas that would really be more impacted are the ones that are outside of the floodway but still within the special flood hazard area in that section.
Jen, why can't we propose the city buy it as a flood relief area?
Wait a little while and let King County do it.
Yeah, right now it is in King County's jurisdiction, yeah. And they're actually actively doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of our pros is
but
the
that
amount.
Way we could keep the water ourselves.
Mm.
Separate subject. The flooded water.
Oh, I see.
Dick.
I think it was 1992 that the city of North Bend and Snoqualmie came together to combined and rioted against the idea of not doing some proactive protections of that river from flooding the areas. I remember that like you're saying, walking around in the muck. But the middle school was just jammed with people that Sunday, and they all wanted a green solution, but a constructive solution that build the revetments up. Protect everything from flooding. Mm-hmm. And that's counter to everything we're doing nowadays, and it's hard to get that argument started again, and I'm not sure if we should. But this would be a very, very contested idea. to, rather than protect the community from flooding, to actually allow the flooding to occur by just...
So if I understand what you're saying, Lucas, is that you're saying what you would have favored in the solutions that were being proposed that would decrease the potential for the flooding.
10 years ago, I was there. 10 years ago, I was there.
Right, yeah, but those
are not there now.
And in our
ability. We need to be prepared to have a strong argument as to why we're not recommending more proactive protection against flooding.
Well, in favor of it, it's less density in an area prone to flooding, which means less of a risk to rescuers and less people to evacuate. So that
less
is a bonus.
Property damage. Yeah, damage to infrastructure.
Okay. They were talking dredging, they were talking everything, weren't they?
Yeah.
Curtis?
I guess, it seems like a common sense solution from my point of view. Dick, with you bringing that up, I guess I'm wondering, so let's say there is a push instead to, you know, build levees and channel the floodwaters through, which kind of brings to mind the point of contention between Snoqualmie and Fall City, and if we're, doing this up here, so the rationale to sell it is, it's kind of the responsible action on our part to, allow for the natural course of action. Lots of words there.
It's better for the downstream.
Exactly.
And that kind of goes along with what the county's considering with setback levies. So if these are lower density lots, then there's less potential that they're going to get developed on, which would make it more difficult for the county to purchase for setback levies.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Would you agree this helps the county?
Mm-hmm.
The other pro here is that it maintains the visual corridors you're coming into the main area of North Bend. Which, when right now, when you drive through that area, it's primarily green. You might see some houses through the trees. So it goes along with that idea that I was talking about the kind of what people see when they enter North Bend.
So again, here I'm feeling like I'm hearing pretty much consensus across the board, and not hearing a reason to not. So instead of beat it, are we all good with this?
Yep. Agree.
Three down. What's next?
And docket. So a lot of the planning commissioners would be familiar with this one, but the lots that are in front of Torgerson Park, owned by Don Torgerson, on the map we are right here, currently zoned downtown commercial. The context is it's on North Bend Way, a lot of traffic, maybe not suitable for new single-family resident, or not appealing at least for new single-family residential construction. Don Torgerson.
Current zoning is
LDR.
Yeah. Don Torgerson submitted a docket again this year. So he submitted a docket that was taken up by the Planning Commission last year. His previous docket was for high density residential. Planning Commission made a recommendation on that to council. Council denied it based on public comment, or considering public comment. He submitted the docket again. This year his docket was for commercial. From the staff perspective, we're concerned that extending commercial, more commercial, will just spread out commercial too much instead of trying to cluster to have good, well-established and vibrant commercial areas. So what the staff recommendation in this case would be high-density residential with the limited commercial overlay, which we already have as a zone on Park Street. So that allows for limited commercial uses that are not of a retail nature, like a dentist office, doctor's office, attorney, things that are a little bit lower intensity of use, but still gives a little bit more uses than just high-density residential on its own.
With HDR, you have the option of first-floor business use and upper-level.
Oh. Yeah, with the
overlay.
With the overlay.
Parker or Thrasher.
It's right here, so it's these lots that are on North Bend Way up to Thrasher.
Yeah.
These four are owned by Don Torgerson. The last one is owned by Stringfellow.
Right.
A second part of this that we kind of looked at, what else in this area might have similar applicability. There's three lots here that are on Orchard Drive across the street from the North Bend Apartments, or Sideview Apartments. Anybody, you all know what those ones are.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's bordered by Cedar Falls Way, Orchard Drive, right kind of the downtown area, these did not make sense as single family. So what we would suggest is high density residential. In this case, not with the overlay because it's not on North Bend Way and it's a little bit more removed from the rest of the commercial area.
Mm-hmm. And yep. This middle ground here, if I remember, is owned by the city, right?
No, by the State Department of Transportation in King
County.
Oh,
still owned by them. Okay, yeah. I thought it came over to us.
HDR with the overlay or just HDR?
Just HDR.
The overlay, in our opinion, would only kind of make sense on the arterials through town, North Bend Way and Park Street. That one, headed toward the Sideview Parks, we think is more residential in nature. Mm-hmm. But definitely a great place for a condo, apartment, townhome type of style.
That's right. It's just across the street from
the park. Apartments. Yeah, apartments. And the park, and walkable to downtown.
And it's probably less likely that it has frontage capability off Cedar Falls Way, because this area kind of seems like
it
wetlands.
It would be horrible to put egress at that point. Horrible.
Okay. Elizabeth? Or go ahead, Carissa.
What was the concern with the surrounding landowners?
We had people from this neighborhood, from Thrasher, that commented that they didn't want to see the additional impact of commercial uses.
Okay.
Or high-density residential uses.
So their concern is probably not going to change.
No.
They're not concerned with cottage residential?
So as part of their concern, maybe the issue of ingress and egress from the neighborhood, if there's the high-density residential right there?
It's hard to speak to what their specific concerns were, but I think just general impact of the feel of multifamily.
And actually, the interesting thing about that is multifamily works well when it abuts a park. So we were kind of a little bit surprised on that, but we also understand because that they're, as you know, all those homes front the park or back up on the park, and they're all pretty much one-story homes. So there would be a little bit different feel.
Well, I mean, I'll speak. I'm certainly pro to where I was last year. I think it's still the right thing. I don't support commercial, so I think staff's proposal here is the right one.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a balance. It's a nice buffer.
Is this still?
It's a good thing I drank it early.
Yeah. Sorry. This is still going. High density.
Talking about this one?
Yeah.
This is under review, engineering review right now for cottage subdivision. Mm-hmm.
Under the new cottage.
So, quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's compatible with the strip of LDRs out here. So. This strip right here. That's existing, right?
Yeah.
Right.
It's across from the Forest Service office.
Mm-hmm.
And is approved and pretty much going to be under construction in the next 4 or 5 months.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
So did I hear everybody says,
is anyone else still chewing on it, or are we good here?
Well, just to clarify, we're not taking, it's just this piece. These are not changing.
No, it's
so it's just the frontage.
Why is this zone park? That's the Forest Service.
That's the Forest Service,
Federal government.
Okay.
It's actually not zone park. The green is parks, open space, and public facilities.
And public.
So it's just reflecting its actual use. Okay, that one's approved. Mr. Lucky, Silver Creek, HDR.
Mm-hmm. Any questions?
So,
where are my notes?
List of two. Go ahead, Mike.
So, in this case, I think there's certainly some good opportunity there to address mix of uses. But I think from the staff perspective, it comes back to wanting to cluster commercial uses together to get that synergy to have a vibrant commercial center. And if commercial uses start to go out into the neighborhoods more, it diminishes the feel of the neighborhood, or it changes the feel of the neighborhood, which may be unpopular with those residents, and it can also diminish the viability of the cluster commercial areas. So from our perspective, we would recommend that it just stay as low-density residential in that neighborhood.
Okay.
So no vellum on this one?
No vellum on this one.
A little time.
Yeah. So,
okay, Jim, go.
Yeah, so the energy about it is exactly the same point, and it's looking out beyond right now. It says, where is that going to go? Where is the city going to go? If we don't create the space, it'll start getting, this conversation will come up again, or this conversation will come up again, or somebody down here or here, it'll be kind of spotty over time. If we set it up, it'll infill that way more evenly, is my thought. And I think if anyone who's asked here, nobody's going to want change tomorrow, and I don't think it'll happen, but partly because these lots are so small. You're not going to have a commercial circumstance coming and buy three lots tomorrow. It's going to take time for it to change. I just want to create the opportunity for it to go that way versus the continued pressure down the road. If this is the hub and we would like people to be able to walk into it for the services that are there, then we got to stay close. So there was no, once you cross over the trail, there's no logical place to start and stop other than what I thought was here, and it could certainly be smaller.
So can I ask for clarity, because when I'm reading on the board, I'm not 100% positive. Is the whole triangle of Silver Creek is proposed for?
Oh, it's actually...
Jim's comment here and Jim's comment here, both to change to DC, as far as I understand.
He had that there too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you look at this.
So all the pieces to DC, that's what I thought the proposal was. That's why I was confused by what was up there.
LDR and HDR to DC.
Okay, now I got it.
And one of the things that I've always thought through for the very first time when I first came here and saw, if you look at our city, where else would you find this? Because of the rivers, because of our topography, this is a bizarre circumstance relative to most other places in the country.
And is your feeling, Jim, is that the DC is needed because you need more space for that type of businesses?
Well, if you're going to, again, I'm coming back to the same perspective of what if there were no lot lines? What if we hadn't done that?
Right.
If this is going to be the center of our city for all the services that people would partake in, then you need to create the space for people to get to that and let it grow from the center. Versus what we've had by default is we almost had another city down here at Trucktown.
Yeah.
Right? If we had the water moratorium that didn't happen, I'll guarantee you that would be a huge hub of commercial people be living down there in a greater density. So anyway, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I believe something. We've got parks downtown. We've got the trail, which I don't think we fully utilize. We've got something, if this were a higher density on the way to commercial or commercial itself, downtown, you'd have the ability for people to improve this property and access the river, as the hotel is going to hopefully soon do. So for a lot of reasons, I was saying, let's protect that space for the city and its internal growth.
Gary, you seem to have a few notes.
I like your approach, and maybe I'm just hesitant to do such a sweeping change at this time. And the reason why is I took some time on a motorcycle and drove through this entire area and up and down the streets.
So,
So 6th, 8th, and Ballarat, and whatever some of the little side streets. So what I found that there are pockets of some older homes in there that were longstanding for some older residents that were some of the first comers to North Bend. And without finding a way to preserve some of that history and some assurances for those lots. I don't want to make a sweeping change at that point. My other thought was that if we do this zone change, then the minimum lot size could be 4,000 square feet, and that further declines the housing stock of the 10,000 square foot lots, which especially along 6, or is that 8th? 6. Yeah, that's 6. Yeah, has the larger lots that you go by. And then there's some that are tucked in here that seem to be half acre mm-hmm. lots. Mm-hmm. So I support Ballarat, which is leading more towards business use to be included in your triangle or square of focus. I don't know if I'm comfortable with doing so much sweeping change for all these residential lots at this time.
So if you were gonna follow that concept at all, would you cross the trail? Would you even come over across the trail?
To make it DC or?
Mm-hmm. See, that's a buffer I see that's always going to be there, that trail. We'll leave this. It feels like you're crossing over. When you get there, when you drive in, it's a different sense.
Actually, the one thing might I add on, I actually have watched a number of the older homes convert to commercial and what have you, and Silver Creek kind of is the last place that we have some of these older home. As we grow out this direction, we definitely are going to get the new, and the new meaning the 500 plus is what they're selling for. So this is a really nice secondary housing stock.
And even now, from a dollar standpoint, what you're getting it is most all new homes, certainly anything that's in the LDR, is going to be 2,000 plus square feet.
Right.
They're going to be much larger homes than the typical downtown neighborhood home right now.
Yeah. So I kind of see this as almost even a neighborhood you want to protect the look and feel of the actual size scale of the residents there. Some will definitely tear down and rebuild and you'll get bigger homes, but it will also stay a place where a one or two family can live. You know?
I just see it, it's one other place other than Sideview that, you know, is a good family neighborhood feel.
Mm-hmm.
So question for anybody who wants to answer. If you look out, I'm just going to even say 50 years, I-90 corridor, whether there's a train on it or not, the city of North Bend along that route, is there enough space given our historical protection, right? So there'd be some areas where it's not going to change no matter what we call it. Do we have enough space for what you want to call the city hub?
I personally think yes, because it's quite underdeveloped from that perspective. Right now, you could go higher. We have areas that are higher. We have 45 feet in downtown. So there's a lot of infill that could happen just in what we have.
Because that's a big driver of what I was thinking. I want to make sure that there's space.
I think also as you look as the city grows, it develops multiple hubs. It's not going to just grow into a downtown Seattle type of scenario. From the inside out, we'll have different clusters that are retail and different clusters that are service.
Okay.
Just being a member of that neighborhood and being somewhat fearful of this changing. I mean, I like your farsightedness, and I think like the principle on the map, it makes a lot of sense. I would support a reconsideration of these areas, but I'm kind of
on the south side of North Bend.
Yes, you know, I think looking at 50 years, while our actions need to be farsighted, we don't need to make the steps that allow for, you know, what is this good for? 4 years? The rezoning? 7 years?
The rezoning is just.
We're gonna we can address this not more than once, but we have to do it every 7 years.
Right. Okay. You know, so kind of with that in mind, maybe that section over there, because it is, I mean, it's a really nice neighborhood, being a resident of it, and you know, just the old character in proximity. I would like to, like, I think if we broaden our sights right now, then certain areas that could be better developed within a smaller nucleus will be overlooked, and so maybe trying to force the change in certain areas and then kind of go from there. I mean, the downtown intersection, it would be really nice to force that to clean up as it is. You know, I think there's a consensus in town on that, but that triangle over there is what I would object to.
Okay.
Elizabeth.
I'm right outside that line. This is something that I think more in terms of allowing more density for residential. There is the area on the other side of Ballarat, however. There's a little triangle that comes up against the green, kind of follows along Ballarat into
here?
Downtown. Yeah, so...
yes, right. This
yeah, right in
here.
That area. Mm-hmm. It is kind of, there's already some business use because actually the planning office sort of backs into that area. And then there's the businesses right around the library. That might be an area to start moving into mm-hmm. with this kind of idea. And then treat that as a marker.
So that's kind of like, to use your comments.
West of Ballarat.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's sort of like stair-stepping approach, because right. I do, eventually I think that we will see having to grow out, but I do recognize the idea that if we do all of that right away, you're not going to get the kind of infill that we're really trying to get in the downtown core, where it can happen. Sort of forces people who are interested in doing that to focus in that core first. And then it all can be revisited in the future as it needs to move out further. But I do think that one triangle is already kind of headed into that yeah. area with some of the businesses.
Dick. I'm being convinced by the arguments that are suggesting to stay on the downside of the trail and force a density. In the current core, I'm being persuaded by the arguments that we need to take care of some of the pockets that are, like I said, on the Ballarat side, on the Triangle side. Those kind of things make more sense to me on, let's say, a 20-year time frame, Jim. I think that I'm also familiar with that neighborhood. That's where Max Haley used to live, and that's a very interesting community as it is. I think we ought to let that community mature out more and focus on densifying the core more, even going up a couple levels. But I find the conversation, Jim, that you put us into is making us think about this a lot harder.
Yeah, I think I said that when I wrote it all up.
That's an extremely valuable service right there, because you're making us look at it. But I tend to agree with those on the commission that want to let that neighborhood mature more before we think about.
So what if we did that?
Which would be to take Ballarat westward and north.
So here, okay, my turn. Yeah. All right. So similar to, I think, what staff is looking at, certainly what I see, commercial real estate downtown, we have enough trouble currently. I think that's going to be some years yet to go, driving the business into the current core. And so I would hesitate to look at a change in the Silver Creek neighborhood, although similar to what Elizabeth is saying, I think that there is a time when it will naturally want to push out along Ballarat. That makes sense to me. Not sure about the rest of that corner. I think we will certainly be hearing from some folks when we make a suggestion to move the LDR to DC, although visually and naturally it seems like the right move to me. Last year I was not very supportive of changing our HDR area along Park to DC. I'm much more in favor of it in regard to the north side of Park to driving it and driving it again into the downtown core than I am on the south side of Park. But I would support what's being suggested there if the consensus says that that's the right move. So my summary would be, yes, I support the changes on the south side of North Bend Ray, and no change to Silver Creek right now.
So the one thing I'd like to bring up, because we haven't really talked about it too much in specific, is this area right here is included in this discussion on the south side. Mm-hmm. And that is actually a really nice kind of, I think everybody should drive back in there. It's a really nice older neighborhood that has a lot of value as an older neighborhood. So I would want you to drive in there before you think of it as DC.
I agree with what you're saying, and to clarify more, I more think about the frontage than I do about the core.
Right, right. So that's one thing. And then I do think that in response to you kind of thinking about this area to be kind of zoned consistently, these blues could easily shift to DC and have a better reflection of how it fits in the area. So you could go DC there. Yeah. Keep everything north of the trail residential for now. It is important to keep your HDR so you maintain some options in housing. And then before you make a decision there, I just ask to drive in there.
And isn't one Taylor's houses, one of the Taylor houses in that neighborhood?
There are some historic homes in
there. Yeah, they're
William Taylor, who platted most of North Bend. One of the houses in that neighborhood was built by him.
Yeah.
And just from knowing some of the residents in that neighborhood, I know they're very vocal on wanting to protect the character.
That's my comment. We would certainly hear from them if we propose that change. I do agree with what Jen is saying in regard to the core of that neighborhood. And yes, there are some very nice historic homes. I struggle, even though I would love to see the entire neighborhood, there's just the natural push on Bendigo. Side, at least to say, it really is going to want to flip over time, and it's to me a place I'd want to see the growth going before we started pushing across the trail into Silver Creek.
I think we ruined that neighborhood by putting Bartels across from it. That was a sweetheart neighborhood with both those older homes on both sides. I think the community has been damaged. They want to save it for all their fiber they want to save it, but I think it's not going to last.
So from what I'm hearing, I'm hearing one or two directions that we can go here. I think I'm hearing general consensus leaning against change to Silver Creek at this time. We've got perhaps some split around the LDR section. And I think I'm hearing general consensus in support of the Park Street change. So we can either move forward with just the Park Street, or we can say let's table this downtown notion for yet another meeting. So
can we also amend this to just be west of Ballarat?
At this point, we can do anything we want. I'm just looking for what I'm hearing out of what I think is the majority. Looking for a place to move forward.
What Elizabeth had mentioned, what I observed, was that Ballarat Avenue largely has become business uses. And so
not north of the trail. The trail rent, our office is right there. Everything this side of the trail has commercial nature. Everything that side is residential. And in fact, we've had some infill here that's been really nice infill residential.
So Jim,
listening to what's being said, and I agree with the concept here. If my energy to create an envelope for future is balanced against current use, and there's certainly value in protecting what is a good thing, right? So I'm very comfortable saying, all right, let's take that out of the conversation. Okay. It still makes sense to bring this same zone around to the natural buffers like the river, include the trail so that that's a limiter on the other side. And I think I extended my thought in part because of Torgerson's conversation. It's like he wants it anyway. But that would be the line. And all I'm doing is trying to create the conversation, just like you pointed out. These folks are going to step up and say something, or they're not. And I think part of our role is to create the create the dialogue.
Are any of these homes old enough to be historic, do you know?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. See, for me, what I think is so unique about North Bend and this location, I compare it to, like, Kirkland, where you have some older homes. I know those are changing quite a bit, and they're getting larger and larger. Mm-hmm. But you definitely have an opportunity in this town to live two blocks from services, restaurants. That's highly valuable.
Sure.
Downtown Issaquah is the same, and that almost does not exist in suburbia anymore. Mm-hmm. So to me, downtown Snoqualmie, downtown North Bend, those downtown locations are worth thinking through how you can allow commercial but also retain residential, especially when you have really beautiful historic neighborhoods. I personally think that's a nice mix. It would be, you know, really actually sought after to live and be able to walk two blocks.
So another consideration there is also the proximity of the river with the floodplain. So right now, mm-hmm. it's pretty low density and has good conveyance and storage capacity. If you put on a commercial use with a lot more impervious surface and higher intensity, you're good.
So can I suggest, based on what I've heard, that we just table any decisions around this tonight? Would that work for everyone?
Well, what's the ramification of doing nothing? 7 years, we talk again?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you guys are there.
I think we're consensual. I think we're consensual.
You ponder at one more meeting and come back with some direction.
Okay.
Or is that
one thing. Maybe.
I want my onion skin.
Yeah, I know. What I hear you guys saying is, D.C., you guys, it works, D.C. here. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're pretty okay with D.C. on Park Street, and then this is the only question mark, and if you actually don't have a question mark here, you could be done with this topic. So it really comes down to this neighborhood, and I think right now it's not the right time.
Highlighter
to
anywhere? Something I can use?
And so from my perspective, like I said, I see the naturalness of the Bendigo change, but I'm okay. I don't think there's anything that's going to force or push the need to have that commercial area. So I would be fine to make no change in
So one thing to remember is during the process last year when we had this docket, there was a lot of public comment in opposition to changing this to D.C. at the time. So
parking was needed.
The other thing, too, to keep in mind, when you change it to D.C., you open up to highest and best, right?
Yeah, that's my target.
Right, but you also know that right now we don't have a lot of housing options for people that can't rent, so or that can't buy and have to rent, excuse me. So the more you get rid of that HDR, you're now creating a real market for a dentist to come in or this or that, which is fine, but you really got to have that rental market. Otherwise, you can't support business. You can't develop your industrial lands for employment because you can't house the people in your city.
But does HDR mean no?
This is
no
where you got to find your residential rental, right?
Right, I know you did. And it's a great concern. I think this makes the overlay is, whether you're for it or not, it makes sense because it's on park. But I think you really want to make sure you don't open that door to losing all your
This is
rental.
A future roundabout. Yeah.
That is the roundabout. Downing and Park is the future roundabout.
Sorry.
Where's the QSC?
Right there. Right there.
These streets are just west of QSC are abysmal. They're dirt almost. We're not taking care of those neighbors. Why aren't we?
What do you really think?
Why aren't we letting those just basically red lights
out of order?
What I'm saying is that could become the high density.
So I concur. We'll move ahead. Come back to this. Did everybody see this little red line I drew?
Yeah.
So. However, we can amend the language that we scripted out. I'm happy to come back to the next time. And
so we're amending it today.
I will stop talking about this.
Okay, so we're talking about this and that, and what about that? Are we going to wait on that little?
Did you see when I drew my red line?
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
I did not.
We've stripped some of the topics off. We'll come back and talk more about the next.
Okay.
All right, moving on. We've got Mr. Ryan from the Heartland site. So Mike, I'm going to zero us in on what you're talking about.
you're right.
We are on.
Did I get any?
Probably not.
Harlan site. Okay, yeah.
Political.
So, Harlan site. This was back to Dick's comment about providing lower density here, or even, I think you said lower density here, and trying to rezone these to public open space, and which would necessitate purchase.
And I'm still there with that. The basis behind my comment was I feel like we were exposing the city to a gateway situation that we didn't really intend to do. I think that the idea is to maintain our rural and recreational character as much as we can, and what's south of the freeway provides us for that. And I believe that the high density issues on the south side of the freeway circumvent that idea. I don't know how we got to there from where we were headed several years ago, but I think that we're there now. I don't know what we could reverse it. But I'm talking now about symbolically trying to actively take a stand against adding density below the freeway, and this seems to be the place to start. Once you get started on this track, you're just going to be moving down the freeway on the south side, which is a natural progression, but I think we can halt that. And another reason for that is because, and I agreed the other side of this successfully, because years ago when Forrester Woods went in and was bucking up against the forest and those issues, we found a way to live with that. And I'm saying it's not something we can't live with. I'm just saying we don't have to live with high density against the forested area, particularly the unmanaged forest area. A managed forest is easier to protect from the impacts of housing than unmanaged forest. There's nobody out there watching it. I think we're already at risk now of having some impacts to Rattlesnake Ledge more than we actually know about.
You mean seismic or fire?
Fire. Yeah. Fire's taken that mountain before, and we're asking for more trouble. It's not being managed. It's not being cleaned up by anybody who manages that land. It's just allowed to sit there and grow and create a fire zone. And I think we're talking about hazardous risks to people who live in the area, but also just hazard to the natural environment, like packing would be.
Dick, are you referring to the properties that the zoning impacts, or you're talking about the Forest Service outside of those property zones?
I'm talking about the conservation lands and rattlesnakes. It's not Forest Service, it's DNR and county.
Right.
And they're doing nothing to manage the area in terms of keeping it fire safe. It's just growing. And so the more we add population to the south side, particularly at the foot of that mountain, the more risk we're taking against that environment.
Sorry, is your concern that fire would come into the neighborhood, or that something in the neighborhood could cause fire?
Right, fire goes uphill. So I'm talking about what we have there is a potential in Forrester Woods to actually create problems, but also just by replicating Forrester Woods along the I-90 corridor on the south side, we're not even paying attention to what we'll be creating for ourselves. We need to find a way to stop it. And the more we start adding to it in this cluster here, the more it's going to be able to be considered potential for being working its way down, upriver. So that's the reason why I brought the attention to that. I think that we don't need to add density. We need to keep as low a density as we can. And even be proactive about, I know the county's not going to change that zone, but if the city intends to get a part of that, then we need to be thinking about how we're going to manage that. And I would think that we either stay out of that area or just stay out of the area and not allow it to be zoned for residential.
Okay, whose turn to go first?
I agree with an additional, same logic I applied here. It's like we're creating an island. Why let the island grow? No one's going to walk from here. I know people do, but they're probably not pushing a baby carriage on a regular basis because it's bloody dangerous.
Yeah.
So for that reason, in addition to yours, I agree with what you're saying.
Gary?
So
I know about defensible spaces being in a small community in a forested area. So I don't know if it's density as much as it is defensible spaces that are going to present the most danger to the residents. I looked at the area and I drove all through Rock Creek, which is this townhome development over here, and tried to visually inspect trees. And I'll give you, there's something emotional I get if I see a 3 foot wide cedar. 4 feet, you know, these trees that have been there a good 400 or 500 years, right? I struggle to find those in there. I don't know if they're cottonwoods, maples, whatever the species that's older. And I would be all for advocating the city buy and protect some space that has those old growth trees wherever they exist on that lot to limit the density. If I go to the end of Ryberry Way, you're right inside the county, it's zoned commercial. And is for sale as commercial usage. Changing it to something from LDR to a half acre or acre lots, I think it depends on the site plan and how it's developed, and where I heard from Jenna saying we should think about more buffers and defensible spaces makes a lot more sense for fire danger. I'm just concerned with, you know, creating estate-sized lots and have then the other areas develop as business or industrial usage, and then you're creating kind of an incompatible scenario in some ways. So I'm almost thinking it might be better as HDR and with buffers.
One context thing that might help to understand the site is there's a lot of wetlands in the back of the site, so you wouldn't be able to put development up against. This isn't actually forest land here. It's just single-family homes, but you'd have a natural buffer because of the presence of the wetlands, and the development site is more in this area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Curtis.
I don't really have any comments on this one.
This one.
I think that it goes back to the concerns that I expressed before. While I like that the idea of protecting that property in whole, it becomes an issue of we can't necessarily do that. They're going to do something to develop that property. In all likelihood, the property owner. And if we force them into a situation where they can only build so many homes, I think they're going to take out more of the trees. And then we have an issue with the view shed, because that is one of the last spots as you come right into the city and at that exit off to the right, and maintaining the trees and the view and not have it become a cleared area. Because they're trying to fit so many, you know, basically make as much money off it as they can. And if the HDR allows us to negotiate buffers that save some of the old growth forest that's in there, save some of, basically protect that view shed, I just don't know that I can support changing the zoning.
I think that,
for that reason.
Memory serves, that's quite a windy area in there. You get a lot of draft coming, channeling its way south, southwest to that area. And they're going to have to be taking trees out just to protect the residents that go in there. It's not going to be a way where you can keep the big trees and put houses around. They're going to be taking the big ones out, because that's going to be the danger trees.
So, from my perspective, I mean, a lot of me says that ship has sailed. I don't think I support downzoning in any of the zones. I think we have a responsibility because we're dealing with inside the city. I come at it from, you know, I honor and understand what Dick's saying about, you know, open space to protect the buffer of the highway, the green space of the highway. But in a city that we regularly hear that we are over stocked with open space, and we have beautiful open space, this would feel like going backwards to me. I've been around long enough to have been involved in the zoning on the mixed use piece, which I think was originally part of what you proposed, Dick, but I don't think that's now on the table. Is that correct? Yeah. I want to be sure about that, right? You're just only talking the HDR and the LDR keys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, similar to what Elizabeth's saying, I think the current zoning gives us better flexibility than a change. And so I'm not in favor of this one.
I'm just raising the flag. Beware of what's going to happen. I haven't heard anybody speak that way on this commission yet, but I accept the consensus of the group, but I just want to make sure we need to keep fire and damages beyond our control from occurring.
Question for staff. Do we have anything in our code that prohibits cutting down any trees that are older than 100 years?
Well, significant trees, which are 15 inches for a deciduous tree, 12 inches for a evergreen tree, and a permit's required for their removal, which then requires replacement.
Wow. Okay.
Did you say circumference or diameter?
12 inches.
Diameter.
Okay.
So I'm hearing consensus then kill this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
So leave zoning as is.
Leave zoning as is. Gary, cottage zone between North Bend Way and Cedar Falls.
Can we get a Smokey the Bear air balloon to hang out there for a little while?
Yeah, Stilson Avenue Southeast, 432nd Avenue Southeast. And I don't know. What is that? The city's municipal lot
public
there?
Works.
Public works. So that area, which is currently zoned as cottage residential, I see as a great opportunity for some multifamily mixed use where it is not in the floodway. It's not in the floodplain. You could do subterranean parking. You could do commercial frontage with residential above. It would create great mountain views on either side. I think in that sense, you know, something 3-4 stories would be really desirable, and it would also give us some more HDR housing stock. It would provide, you know, access to exit 32, create some services for some of the surrounding residents as well in the Cedar Falls neighborhood.
So your proposal is essentially an overlay versus changing to HDR. I'm not sure reading the board
I don't know what the correct zone would be to create a commercial lower level with residential.
So staff give thought to that now.
It would most likely be your HDR with the overlay that we have.
Similar to what we've done on Park.
By Torgerson, the Torgerson proposal.
The Torgerson proposal.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody gets that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who's up?
Is that developed at all right now?
It's trees.
Okay. Seems to make sense to me. I mean, at least on the surface.
This is the only area you're talking about. Yeah?
That's what I proposed.
Okay.
So, just to clarify, and I think this kind of brings up a concern that maybe staff has on this, is that the HDR with overlay does not mean that you have to do multifamily above retail. So you could just, or commercial, you could just do a standalone dentist office or attorney's office or other things that are within that context.
I overestimated my capacity, and I'd like to write a new zone. In all honesty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gary, to what I'm hearing, you're saying you want to ensure that you've got residential.
I'm serious.
Okay.
Having first floor.
I figured you were.
But that's what we have. We've got a overlay in the.
We have an overlay
in Mount Si Road. Were required.
It's not an overlay. There's some
residential above.
There's some performance standards at the intersection of the Mount Si Road here that require that if you have an industrial use, that it has to be retail, has to either have a retail component to the industrial use, or that it has to be fronted by commercial uses.
Okay, so if it's a retail, it has to have housing above.
No.
Okay. So then we would be talking about a new zone.
Yeah, and the one thing, you know, that we do have is we have a lot of underperforming commercial uses right now, including a lot of spaces that are vacant in the realm of a small office and what have you. So one thing, knowing we come back to this every 7 years, I ask the question, do we want to keep expanding that commercial out? Or do we really want to create a dense hub where you have great activity in the commercial? And that's just a question that you guys need to answer.
And my impetus is looking at the 600 homes being built, and a lot of it more towards the east part of the city, providing a way to get some services without coming into the downtown.
Would a reasonable take at it? I want to go at it this way. So for that piece of ground, I like the notion of getting more toward an HDR versus the cottage or some blend of the two, but I would favor still keeping it residential on that side of the street. We do have the neighborhood business across the street, which would in many ways give the same sort of retail commercial support to that neighborhood, potentially. So if you broaden your,
that's actually a good point.
You've got, you know, within that same stretch of road, you've got both of those uses already represented.
And one of the goals, that's a super point, because one of the goals when we did the design standards years was to create a really nice center that would attract the hikers that come off the mountain to stop, get a coffee, have a beer, whatever. And if that was coupled with the residents living right next door, it would be nice. You just walk across the street, and there you have a mini little service area for. So that's a good thing to point out.
That's why I flew in.
Yeah, that's why you flew in.
As a point to put into your mix, mm-hmm. And kudos to you for even thinking about creating a new zone. The cottage zone was a new zone. And I remember in the dialogue that got it there, it was, at least from my perspective, a big piece of it was just looking at demographics. Where do the empty nesters go? And the cottage concept, although it's not, hasn't quite proven financially feasible, but maybe times are changing. So from the perspective of trying to reserve that special zone of cottage, I'm a little reluctant. But not because your idea is not a good one. That could be even a better use. But I'd almost want to trade it. Let's get some cottage somewhere else if we're going to take it away. Or confuse it, rather. And you can put cottage in a lot of places. It's not using cottage.
My issue with cottage is just it's a, you know, 2,500, 2,500, 800. Or some mix of big and small. And I think a focused,
part was developers asking. Not, we didn't lay it out that way.
We did allow, if you recall, the last time we went through it, we did allow 30% multifamily now. So we do allow 30% of all the structures built in that orange area to be. So it really was trying to incent a mix.
It's closer to what's in my head, I would agree. Is that it's, and the more that I've thought, you know, we've had the discussions around the cottage, and as we've talked about, and the changes in the LDR, I started wondering if we shouldn't be requiring mix across the board. But I'm not willing to take up that bite.
Not this week.
I like the idea, coming back to the retail commercial downstairs with residential upstairs. And I mean, it's functional, it's sustainable. And hits the high density, low income, areas. It'd be nice to find a place where we can encourage the support and concentrate that.
Can I throw in something else to comment? I don't know if anybody's been through Redmond in the last 6 months. Downtown Redmond.
What a transformation.
Holy camoly. And it started off with just that idea. Let's have some commercial, maybe a little retail, and let's build up from there. Now it has a wholly different feel. And I, whatever that says, I haven't read.
Redmond Zoning Code.
But
from where we sit today, looking out my magical 50 years, mm-hmm. could be 37 years, whatever it is, I don't envision circumstances happening in Redmond right now. They've got the same waterway, a slough. They've kind of attracted themselves to that. The curved roads that they're not straight.
See, I actually would disagree. I see our downtown core actually going higher.
Yeah, but that high?
Not that high.
Thank
but
you.
Higher. I see it about double the right. height that we
They're doing now. Six stories. I'm comfortable with four. I think we can still have the tree canopy that will blend in nicely with four stories.
Okay. And Kirkland did, to the same point, their corridor, their waterfront area, they did, I think, six and eight. But if they went the sixth story, they had to kick the front one back. So there was a streetscape of not looking vertical up at a building. So there's different dances. Sorry, let me change the subject. But I'm still protecting my zone over here.
So the next question, so first you, Dick, do you have comments on that?
No, I don't.
Elizabeth? So.
My only other selling point is that in the affordability option, if I get some hikers that live in condos, you know, that can afford the condo but not the single family home, they also can ride their bike to trails, they can go hike, you know, without having.
I know two young people in my close approximation, they're being priced out of the town because they can't find a place to live. They're just starting, they live here.
Get it every day.
They can't afford it. They're looking outside of town, and I'm saying, my God, what could be cheaper than North Bend? Further west you go, the more you go, but there are homes actually, apartments, they're more affordable than they are out here in North Bend.
So Gary, let me come back to you. So the notion of where you wanted to go, which was essentially getting more opportunity for density, and remembering current cottage code allows for some amount of density. So where are you? Are you still, you want to go the path of let's come up with a new zone direction that would kind of accommodate more of the mix?
I am, okay. 100%.
All right. At this point then, does staff have enough, based on the comments that have been made, to look at coming up with what that might look like?
I think the general concept, the second question is what types of services, and that I think staff can help advise us on what they think would be a good mix with the rest of the city. I will hand over what I think.
Okay.
So let me understand also, are you saying that if you were to do commercial, you also have to do residential or the converse?
That the zone would support this multifamily use.
But what Mike's asking is, could somebody do commercial only, or do they have to do residential, and then if they do that, they would be allowed to do ground floor commercial?
Ground floor commercial.
So only commercial if you're also doing a residential component.
Yes.
Okay.
It's purposely for that.
Okay, Rob, you might have an inkling about to utter, but I believe Bellevue College is considering a campus out in the area. And shouldn't we be prepared with properties with students?
To my knowledge right now, I don't think they're any longer. I mean, actually, Jenny probably is going to know better than me.
Yeah, I heard that's not their.
The last conversation from the president of the college was that they were looking up in the Highlands. Now they were making a deal for a campus on the Highlands. So I don't think it's coming our direction. I heard through the grapevine that as he was making that public pronouncement, he was privately saying, you know, we're not doing it.
Yeah.
So am I hearing basically we
This is kind of tabled back to staff to take a look at what to do with that one. Okay. Then we've got a couple of that wraps up just before 8:30. That wraps up the zoning topics. Then we got a couple of non-zoning. We got this daggone guy Gary again. Neighborhood markets. North Bend commercial code through performance standards.
So,
yeah, so go ahead.
As we push towards the south side of town and we grow out that way, we're going to be converting a lot of rural farmland and large plots into homes, and I want to make sure that we have some connectivity and some ways of egress from multiple points, as well as some services that might be able to provide some ins and outs for the residents along that new street.
So we actually thought about this quite a bit, and we thought, great comment, and first of all, connectivity is required by code. So when those develop,
and this,
we can't speak to the existing lack of connectivity where we might have one or two locations. But
also,
that was the genesis of looking at the map and why I expressed that at this point.
Yeah, right. This actually is already in our comprehensive plan as a required connector. So basically in this alignment, there may be some adjustments as development occurs, but it's actually a collector street rather than a local access street.
Is that in the transportation plan?
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys did that 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't.
So then the other thing is, so we thought, okay, we got it in the code, we got it in the comp plan, so pretty much good to go. Then what we thought is the neighborhood little markets, what we want is something small enough that it doesn't really make sense to zone in a commercial zone. So what we'd rather do is do it through a code amendment in the performance standards that specifically speak to very detailed ways of how this could be done.
Well, we have current overlays where you don't allow oil change, car repair. That would be along the same lines, I would think.
I think the hard part, though, is you wouldn't want to pick and choose which place this makes sense. You'd want to say something like, in the LDR, if you wanted to do a neighborhood market, here's the parameters it would be done in.
Mm-hmm. Versus targeting it.
Yes. Yeah. Because it really is going to be a specific person. The way I see this, this is somebody that lives there and is going to want a little market out the back of their garage or something.
Okay.
Maybe not garage, but, you know.
So,
well, I think that was your last meeting, Barbara.
Is there anywhere else to go with it other than the conversation?
So I guess where we're going next is, great idea, work plan 2015. Let's look at the code and see what we can create.
Okay.
Great. Okay. Smith. We got gateway treatments.
So this became even more kind of an issue for me because I had the joy of being out near Trucktown at 9 o'clock at night. I don't know how many people have driven down there in the evening when all the truckers are pulled off on the side of I-90 up the ramp and causing all sorts of problems because there's not sufficient space for them to park anywhere off of I-90 anymore. And that is part of this whole idea of gateways, is what are we doing to control what people see when they enter North Bend? If we want to maintain rural character, part of that is what people think when they see the city. And their first impression is coming eastbound, what do they see? And going westbound, what do they see? And right now I can tell you they see some really interesting activity on the side of the road if you happen to drive through if somebody decides to toss something out the truck.
What specifically are you speaking about?
Let's not go into specifics. Yes. So what's the suggestion or request?
Well, we kind of have some thoughts for you on that one, too. So what the best comparison is, we have a downtown master plan that has gateway design standards as you come across the river into downtown. So we thought, well, very good input. We need to create that as you come into every part of town. So almost creating maybe a gateway plan, you know, similar to the way we did the master plan, but it could just identify all the gateways of downtown or of the city and then come up with some specifics on how those would all be handled. And again, that's a 2015, or maybe, you know, that's kind of, yeah, that's kind of a big one, but I think we can start working on it.
But there is something that we could put some language into our comprehensive plan that describes the need to do that, too.
Well, and I guess my concern, too, and realizing that we all want to get out of here, so I'll make it short. As we move into talking about commercial zoning, the question is there something that we can be doing over here to help relieve what is both a safety and what I would call blight, visual blight issue. And I don't want to even think about what the poor people cleaning up the sides of the freeway are going to deal with right now, considering what I saw.
The casino's paying for that.
And I still feel bad for the workers out there doing the actual work because it's got to be really questionable. Right?
The city's working really hard right now with the issue with the truck. And we have right now prohibited any new truck facilities. And working with the existing one to the degree we can. So that is definitely something that we're working on. However, the trucking industry is one of those really odd, nobody takes ownership to it because it's a nomadic lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So the port, it's not their deal. The city, we're just a small little portion of it. The county, it's not. So it's a really big task, but we are working to resolve some of those issues.
Why couldn't
they take over all the valley
port? Truck stop that is overwhelmed by
overcapacity already.
Yeah, we've got way too much need for what we can provide.
It is the last one in King County.
Exactly.
So then, okay, last one here. We've got this real oddball around McFarland, who, and I would argue that this is not a non-zoning issue. This is exactly a zoning issue. It's that in a broad basis in our zoning, that as we have just rewritten code to specifically call out that lot size is the determinant versus a DU per acre, I'm just suggesting that we strip out the DU per acre language so we don't reference 4 or 6 or 8. It's not really consequential in my mind for the way that we're now zoning. Therefore, staff, tell me why I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. It's not that it's not a zoning issue. It's not. It's just that it's not necessarily a map issue. We're trying to focus on map issues on that side. It is a good idea, and I think we do want to come back to that. So just again, we're programmed for 2015.
The only thing I would
as part of the land use, it's called out in our land use elements. So that's what we're.
We would have to change the name of LDR. Because I think it always says 4 DUs per acre. But keep this in mind, too. The 4 DUs per acre is a maximum. So it doesn't mean you get to build 4 DUs per acre. It means once you've met all the regulations, the maximum you can build is 4 DUs per acre. So that's it. Some people have steep slopes and wetlands, so they only get 2 DUs per acre. Some people have nothing, so they get 4. I think you're reflecting on, does the new bulk and dimensional standards on a perfectly flat parcel with no constraints not allow 4 DUs per acre when you add the streets? And
yes, that's certainly the genesis of the thought, but it's really about that's not the way we're judging or platting anything. We're not really, it's not really a measure any longer, right? Because of all the rest of the constraints and the lot size setbacks, wetlands, whatever it might be, it is whatever you can get. So,
and
reference isn't really a reference that does us much good.
Yeah, the only thing I kind of like about it is when a developer's sitting down at the table, the line in the sand is very clear. You can get as creative as you want, but no more than 4 DUs per acre. And that provides a pretty solid stopping point to the discussion versus when you have all these, moving targets.
I'm not going to push forward. That's
my only.
Logic's there, and I'll walk away.
I'm going to support that notion because when we have a minimum of 8,000 square feet and we have no maximum, the 4 DUs just creates a little confusion on my part. If I want to build all half-acre lots, and then I get one small lot and I come up with my average of 8,000 or 7,500, whatever it was, in some mathematical equation, it's not 4, it's maybe 3 or 2.5, I don't know, per acre.
So you meet the zone then? Because you can't build 5, but you can build 3.
Yeah, but I'm saying having the 4 DUs just doesn't make sense in all these different cases because you're not going to be building 4 an acre.
Well, how do we know that, though?
But that's the same
if
as height.
You're not going to always build a 30.
Well, I guess
this is what I'm saying.
Coming back is to the original point again. I'm just saying, I don't see the applicability any longer. I think we're really driving by lot size, whether it's the 8,000, 4,000, 5,000, whatever the zone might be. That's where the decision making is made, and the 4 is really artificial. You can't get to 4, or excuse me, you can't get to 5. Within our lot size. So saying 4, saying 5, saying 3, it's just not a factor really. It's really driven by the lot size and the constraints. It just doesn't seem like something that applies. And that's where I was going to say, well, if you're saying, but it really does, I could see that. But since our code says it doesn't, why throw it in? Strip it out.
Well, is that because the designation is wrong or because the code is wrong?
No, I don't think either. I think they're just conflicting. I think we're, you know, the code says lot rules. So if lot rules, then we really don't have a need for the other. That's my main point.
So if we took that out, I'm trying not to become unique enough that it's another layer of confusion for somebody coming in that wants to do whatever they want to do on four dwelling. Or the math around the country uses something like that, right? So if we took it out, would we be kind of...
Either way, we're fine.
Yeah?
My engineers, they're not looking at whether it's four, right? They're looking at what are we allowed to do? What's my road right away?
Right.
What's my storm requirement?
What do I have left?
What's my lot? What's left?
Yeah.
Yeah, either way, we're fine.
So I do agree with you, Mike, in regards to getting staff going as far as crunching numbers. This one does not apply. But, and I'm done. Anything else?
Did we get yours from last meeting?
You said that was a different area. It wasn't a zoning, it wasn't that thing. It was talking about...
That's confusion. Right. And we got that.
Can I just, I'll make a short speech.
Okay.
Not about my comments on the city, but I just want to kind of throw this out as what I believe is my role. Maybe it's our role. We need to create opportunities for the people who own the land, not create barriers to what they may want to do with it. That, to me, that's our very first rule. The second piece is, keeping those opportunities in line with the whole city. So to me, it's not like let's create this box and tell everybody what they need to do with their land. And I keep throwing that out. It's one of my, maybe reminding myself at the same time. So as we get this done, I'm excited if we're creating more opportunities for folks rather than, oh, by the way, you can't do what you've been able to do for the last 30 years. So thanks for listening.
Anything else? Going around, going once. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Why is there hesitation on that one?
Do I have a second? Got a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Well, Mike, by way of a good mark.
Yeah. We're there.